Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I was listening to the Sounds of Christmas over the weekend, and I heard one of my favorites. I have lots of favorites, so that's not all that unusual. This one was an 80s single called Thanks for Christmas, attributed to the group The Three Wise Men. I remember coming across the 45 in a record store in December 1983. I knew nothing about it at the time. It was just part of my haul on that particular day. Don't remember what else I bought that day, but this single was a standout. I really liked it a lot. Had no idea who The Three Wise Men were. It was kind of an obvious fake name, but I really didn't think that much about it. It was an import. I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and there was a record store that used to get lots of import records, 45s and EPs. And this was one of those, and those are always a little mysterious and strange. So I just accepted that the band was The Three Wise Men. Later, I found out it was actually the band XTC, who had used the fake band name for several different reasons, depending on who you believe, but it wound up turning up on one of their own comps around 1990. And that got me to thinking about songs from other fairly well-known singers and bands and even celebrities that I really like and at the same time feel that almost no one else even knows it exists. So I reached out to some other podcasters to see if they knew any songs that might fit that sort of criteria. And Ricky from Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe, Jerry from Totally Rad Christmas, and Scott from Holly Jolly Xmasu were quick to take me up on it. First, I'd like to thank you guys for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
And I'd like to go around and let each of you introduce yourselves and your podcast, mention the name and what it's about, that kind of thing. Ricky, you want to get us started?
Sure. Thank you. My name is Ricky Meese, and I am one half of the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast. And my partner, Mary, does the first segment, usually on any given podcast, with Christmas news. And then I follow with an interview on a wide variety of Christmas topics. And coming up on July of this year, we will be celebrating our fourth year birthday. So we started in 2019, lasted through COVID, and we're still here. So we just love it. We love spreading Christmas cheer, and our Christmas music podcast are some of the most downloaded episodes we have. So I'm grateful to be here tonight with you guys.
Well, thank you, and happy anniversary in advance.
Thank you.
Jerry?
So I'm sure your listeners don't know me at all. So I host Totally Rad Christmas, which is a podcast about all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, music, movies, TV specials, food, fashion fads, decorations. It doesn't matter as long as it has something to do with Christmas in the 80s, which is my favorite decade. That's when Christmas meant the most to me. And it's also just a weird, weird time to be alive. Then we'll cover it on my show.
And Scott?
I'm the host of Holly Jolly Xmasu. It's a podcast all about Japanese Christmas music. Each episode, I take an album or collection of songs from my own personal collection and play the music and talk about the artists and the songs involved. So if you're looking for something a little different, go ahead and check it out.
Great. Thank you guys again. Now, I asked each of you to come up with 3 to 5 songs by fairly well-known singers, bands, or celebrities that you were pretty sure almost no one else knew about. And I said I would do the same. And not being able to follow my own directions, I came up with about 15. How many do each of you have? Ricky?
Oh, I have a page and a half, but I've tried to put them in my top favorite order and then honorable mentions. So I have several, that I really like that I think some might be familiar with and some may not, or they may be older and just not circulating again in this day and time. There's a variety that come that will enter into it. So I picked several to go with and from a variety of music genres. So it's a good mix as far as what I would like, but I think there's something in here for everyone.
How about you, Jerry? How many?
So I had about 50 to start off with, and then I managed to get it down to, I managed to get it down to about five. Although it's technically seven because two of them are ties, but I have about eight honorable mentions that I kept that I really wanted to go. And spoiler alert, one of them was Thanks for Christmas by XTC. So,
so yeah, I featured no longer that one on our New Wave Christmas too.
So good.
Scott, how about you?
So I tried to stick with five. I ended up capping it at 10, and I keep on rearranging the order, but I'm going to stop with what I've got right now and just stick with these in the order I have.
So you're the smart one of the group.
And we can always do a part two of this next month.
I mean, I feel like this is a topic where you could just have one of these drop every single month forever, and we probably wouldn't exhaust it all.
Well, yeah. You know, as I was putting my list together, I came across so many that were 60, 70 years old. Celebrities, some record labels and some TV networks used to put together packages of their stars singing Christmas songs and send them out to sort of promote TV shows. So I have like Robert Conrad and Roger Moore. And I thought, you know, that's not really fair because they're 70 years old. And they're not something that are streaming. They're not something anybody could really come across, probably not even on YouTube. So I dismissed all of those to just kind of be fair. I wanted stuff that was that I could say it was this artist. And two out of three of you at least would know who that was without, you know, without reaching back. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys all know who Roger Moore was, but you get the idea. Ricky, you want to go first? Throw it
sure.
out?
I'd be happy to. Okay. So like I said, you guys are going to know some of these. One of the ones I absolutely love is by a contemporary artist and group called Lord Huron, who does a wonderful version of Auld Lang Syne. Jerry, I know you know this one because you liked it on my post, so that's one of them. If you haven't heard this one, it's a really unique take on this classic New Year's Eve song. One that's a bit of a throwback, and I don't know, Ken, I'm pretty sure this will, you know, be a reminder for you. The Raveonettes, the Christmas song, it has, I don't know if it's a 60s vibe, I'm not really sure, but that's a great one to check out. One that I came across from a radio personality that I really like from California, their station, which is pretty common, would compile a Christmas CD every season. And I found this one on one of those. It's the Smashing Pumpkins with Christmas Time. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, wait, what? The Smashing Pumpkins? And you're going to look at that guy and think, no way. This song is just wonderful. I'm going to project one that it's not really out there. It's only a YouTube clip. Have you guys heard of the Arctic Monkeys? They're kind of a contemporary band. Okay. Well, on YouTube, I'm hoping they do more with it, but this gives me an insight in thinking maybe they would do some Christmas music. On YouTube, they have a little clip that includes the drummer singing Last Christmas. I'm going to do some that with Blondie, We Three Kings, and then Yuletide Throwdown, which is a rap, and it's it's a reflection back to Rapture. The Civil Wars, I presume they were kind of an indie group, but they had a really unique sound. They do a couple of songs. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day and O Come, Emmanuel. Debbie and the Darnells, Santa, Teach Me to Dance. And Rick, I'm going to go with Rick Springfield. He has an album, Christmas With You. It's a song dedicated to soldiers who were killed in the Iraq War. But his whole album has some good tunes on it. Some that has a little bit of a take on a rock version, but without going too extreme. But he also has one that may be a little bit PG rated. Santa is an Anagram. It's not included on that CD. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Susie and the Banshees. I don't know how to pronounce this in French, but it's the French Christmas Carol. And in that video, you'll see the lead singer of The Cure, Robert Smith, on there with the cymbal, although he never hits that cymbal. And in the background, I'm saying, Cue Robert, hit that cymbal. And I've got some honorable mentions that I won't go into, but the one I want to wrap with is unique. Just as I had mentioned radio stations that put together their own Christmas CDs every season, I work for a radio group, and one of our sister stations does that, and they've been doing it for ages. There is a song on there that I absolutely fell in love with, and even though it is older, it still comes back and makes the airwaves every Christmas. Now, our station always pulls down the number one rating every holiday season for their Christmas music. But if you guys are like me, and I think you are, I really need to go to a longer, much longer playlist for Christmas songs. This is by Debbie Boone and the Boone Sisters, called The Gift. And what was unique about this was, even though only a couple of people had heard it, we had gotten requests for it into the station. So our people tracked down this song and the representatives for the Boone family and say, hey, we're getting some traction on this. We want to be able to play it. Will you give us the right to be able to play this and include it on the CD? And they did. And our station had a direct impact on making that song a part of many people's Christmas season for probably the last 20 to 30 years. So Debbie Boone and the Boone Sisters with The Gift. It's a beautiful acoustic harmony of those sisters singing, and it would fall into a light kind of feel, and it's not going to be something for everyone, but if you just like a pure, harmonious, beautiful song, that's it.
Nice right list.
Yeah, Lord Huron, I love them. They have some just great songs that have been used in like TV shows and movies. Yeah. Throughout the last few years. And yeah, good call. Good.
Yeah. That version of Auld Lang Syne, though, gets me. Oh, just chills.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I love the Blondie Fab Five Freddy song.
Oh, yeah. Throwdown. Yeah.
I only got the download when they re-released it recently. I went out there. I saw that you can get the original Flexi disc pretty mm-hmm. cheap. And I haven't gotten it yet, but that's one I plan on picking up.
Nice.
What about Rick Springfield? I mean, I was not. Okay. So, yeah, Jerry with the 80s. So I was really surprised that he has some cuts. I think it's Deck the Halls with his Christmas album has more of a TSA kind of vibe. But then some others that are just, they're just, I underestimated his talent on Christmas music. I did.
Yeah, there's some surprising songs by 80s artists out there that a lot of them recorded later on in their careers, and they're kind of killer, but yeah.
And I'm sorry, I realized I did leave one off. Can I add this really quickly?
Sure.
It's John Cougar Mellencamp. Not I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, but it's a lesser well-known one called Teddy's Song, yeah. Or also known as When Christmas Comes. And it has a five background. It's a very unique sound, especially for John Cougar Mellencamp at the time. So I would suggest that's one that people check out as well.
Yeah.
Right on.
That's a really good one. You know, the Rick Springfield album, that came out, I don't know, sometime in the last 10, 15 years, I believe. And I'm really surprised that it didn't get airplay. That
or as much traction as it did. Yeah. I am too, because it's a decent CD.
Yeah, it is. And radio is always hungry for 80s artists coming back, doing something new. So I'm really surprised that one didn't catch on.
Yeah, he plays around here about every other year, and the local stations play the heck out of him. So I got his CD when it came out, and it, like you, I really thought it would show up on air, and I don't think I've ever heard it on the radio.
Really? Mm-mm, what did you think of the CD?
I liked it. It wasn't Jesse's Girl, but it's a pretty good album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice list, Ricky.
Thank you.
Nice, Jerry, what you got?
Okay, so I have my top five and I have 8 honorable mentions. So I'm going to do the honorable mentions first to get them out of the way. So one that it's not even that great of a song, but for some reason, I really like it every time it's on, is Santa's Rap by the Treacherous Three. And if you don't remember, that's actually from the movie Beat Street, but it was released on the Beat Street soundtrack. And good stuff. So one of the first Christmas raps that I remember hearing, even though there were others before, I really like that one. Dead by Christmas by Hanoi Rocks was another one that I really enjoy. It's just a
forgot
it
all
drives.
About that one. That's nice.
Yeah. It's just a driving one. No one really knows that, which is a shame. Okay. This one is from a few years ago, kind of. It's actually, and you'll notice a theme with most of mine are from the 80s. But it's originally written in the 80s, never released until a few years ago. It's Sleigh Rider by Morgan Ames.
Okay, I've not heard of this one, so tell me about it.
So it's actually, it was written for the movie Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh.
And so what they did, they wrote the score, you know, the composer wrote the score, and then Morgan Ames was hired to write a whole album of original Christmas songs that was going to be released with it. And it never was until like 2 or 3 years ago. And they're actually pretty good songs. Like, I could have picked anyone from there. I just happened to really like the groove of Sleigh Rider. So that's interesting. Then I have a few. Let's see. So this is from the Yulesville promotional album. It's 2000 Years of Love by 5440. People know it, just not as many people as I would like. I really enjoy it. It's at the very end. It's got a nice little horn group that plays this real sing-songy type melody. It's fantastic. It's a Wonderful Life by Fishbone is another one that's not really known.
I like that one.
I've got the vinyl.
Yeah. So, you know, they have a few, like just Call Me Scrooge and of course, Slick Nick UW, but It's a Wonderful Life. I feel you bring it up in conversation. No one knows what you're talking about. So again, I just really enjoy it. And it is based on It's a Wonderful Life. These next two kind of cheat a little bit. For those of you that know me, I like to play by Captain Kirk's Kobayashi Maru rules. And so I kind of game the system a little bit. The first one is December by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's literally just September.
Yes. Except,
rewritten for Christmas.
But yeah. It's still good. You can automatically follow along.
So good. Yeah. But again, it's like most people don't know it. And but then Santa Jenny, 867-5309 by Tommy Tutone, released in the early 2000s, rewritten just to be Christmassy. And then my last honorable mention is from a few years ago. It was from the Legend of Zelda Christmas album. It's called Silent Night. That's Night with a K by Cly Lydian. And so the whole concept of that album is that they would combine music from The Legend of Zelda and Christmas carols. And it's really cool. Just interesting music. Most of the time it works. And it's a fun listen, mostly instrumental. And it's great. But okay, here they are. Top five. Drum roll, please. No, I'm just kidding. okay, so again, this is a group that number five. It's a group that they do have a little following, but most people, the layman, I guess, don't know it. It's a group called Found Wandering. Their version of We Three Kings is probably my favorite version ever. But they have a song actually called A Cradle in Bethlehem, released in 2015. It's just a beautiful lullaby carol. It's encapsulates everything about Christmas that we all love. So A Cradle in Bethlehem, that's a great one. The next one is also from the Yulesville promotional album. So you probably heard it in 1987 by radio stations and then never heard it again. It's by the New Monkees. It's What I Want for Christmas. And it's literally just their song, What I Want, with lyrics rewritten to be Christmassy. So you might have noticed the theme here. It's such a catchy tune, and it's become one of my favorite Christmas songs. I don't know why. I love it so much. Number three was originally going to be the Three Wise Men, Thanks for Christmas. But instead, I'm going to substitute Michael Card, Joseph's Song. So he was a Christian singer-songwriter in the 80s. I think I brought him up on your show before, Ken.
Yeah.
It's just a nice little piano, you know, and him singing. It's another gorgeous song. I learned about it at church. There was a couple of guys playing guitar that would play it, but no one else I ever talked to have heard of it. It's really beautiful. Joseph's Song by Michael Card. You should check it out. Number two, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Lori Loughlin from Full House. That's from an album called Soap Opera Christmas from 1982. It was a bunch of soap opera actors, and they sang Christmas songs. And I really like her version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
And Can she sing? Can she really sing?
She's not like professional level, but she's decent. She's a pretty good singer.
So she can carry a tune.
Yeah, she definitely can carry a tune, and I enjoy that one. And finally, number one from 1985, it's I Don't Want to Be Home for Christmas by the Dallas Cowboys. Yep.
Oh, I can hear people out there going, by who?
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys in 85, they came out with their own Christmas album. Most of the songs are written by singer-songwriter Chris Christian, which he later released on his own album in 88. But they do have a couple where, like, the 12 Days of Christmas, of course, they're all football lyrics. And this one, I Don't Want to Be Home for Christmas, which is kind of a terrible, it's kind of a terrible song to sing, I guess. But yeah, they actually have the Dallas Cowboys singing it. So
wow.
Funny thing about the Fishbone album.
Yeah.
The stickers on it say, as seen on MTV, or like, watch the video on MTV. And I swear, I never saw that video on MTV.
No,
me either. Maybe they were just hoping.
I know, yeah. Maybe if we put it on, they'll play us.
Terrific list, Jerry. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. How about you? What you got?
Okay, so I'll steal Jerry's order. I'll do my honorable mention first. All right. Christmas on Riverside Drive by August Darnell from 1982's Christmas record.
Creel.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And, you know, Christmas rapping gets all the attention, but Christmas on Riverside Drive.
Mm-hmm. That, and I'm not sure it's favorite. Worth it.
No, especially because Christmas on Riverside Drive is just such a good song.
It grooves, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It grooves. Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned 8675309 Santa. That was included on an all-star tribute to Christmas, which was a 2009 compilation. One song that I constantly hammer on as being one of my least favorite is Wonderful Christmas Time. But Dweezil Zappa does a version of it on that compilation that's not half bad. So, you know, if you're going to play one of the 50 different versions of it each year, you know, skip Paul McCartney, put on Dweezil Zappa. And then On a Quiet Christmas Morn by John Schneider and Tom Wopat from their Home from Christmas from 2014. That's got to be the highlight of the album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody Knows It's Christmas by Roland Gift from Fine Young Cannibals. Over in the U.S., it showed up on a compilation put out by the U.S. Postal Service in 2005, Dear Santa Holiday Music Collection Volume 1. If you like Fine Young Cannibals, it's a cool song just because, you know, it's Roland Gift. And then my last honorable mention would be I Hate You, But I Gotta Stay on Christmas Day by the Australian band Polish Club.
I've lost all respect for you.
It is one of the coolest songs you'll ever hear. For the first few years after it came out, you couldn't get it anywhere except for the vinyl from Australia. But they finally did release it on streaming, so anybody can get it.
But people relate to that song. I mean, it's a bit gimmicky and gets a little annoying, but people understand that song because of those lyrics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a cool song. I got a copy like the year it came out.
I understand.
I played it for my girls. They loved it. Uh-huh. So for two or three years, you know, that was one of our most played Christmas songs around here. But get into my top five. Number five, Santa Claus is a Texas Cowboy by Red Sovine. He's best known for his faith in Santa, which is one of the most horribly depressing Christmas songs in history.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side is Santa's a Texas Cowboy, which is one of the most cheerful, upbeat Christmas songs you're ever going to hear. And they're both from his 1978 Christmas with Red Sovine, which most of them are just, you know, the depressing trucker Christmas songs. But there's a couple little gems in there. Number four from the 1979 album, Merry, Merry Michaelmas. These Things Mean Christmas to Me by Mickey Rooney. For the most part, it's not a very good album. But,
Should it come with a warning?
Well, there's one or two on there that you can't get through. And I want to get a copy someday of, you know, Mickey in his union suit on the cover. But These Things Mean Christmas to Me, it's like an extremely 1970s song. But if you like kind of schmaltzy 1970s light pop, it's pretty good. Next one is from the ITV Christmas special Pop Goes Christmas from 1982. It's Dexy's Midnight Runners doing Slade's Merry Christmas, Everyone.
That's terrific.
It has, as far as I know,
that group.
It's never been released anywhere, but you can find the video on YouTube. And honestly, I like it better than Slade's original.
I would play it if I could find a really good quality copy, but it was 1982.
Yeah.
So. And it's YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, one of my favorite Christmas movies is We're No Angels from 1955 with Humphrey Bogart, Peter Ustinov, and Aldo Ray. Joan Bennett sings a song, Sentimental Moments, in it, which is just fantastic. It's never been released. It's never been covered until 2018 when Eric Clapton included it on his Happy Xmas album. So I've played it for people. I've put it on my annual Christmas CD that I sent out to my family. It's just a fantastic song. Not the most Christmassy thing, but, you know, it was in We're No Angels, so it counts. And then number one, which is probably the most topical one on the list, since he passed away just earlier this year, Merry Xmas by Bobby Caldwell. It's a cover of Kazumasa Oda's song. It appears on a 2003 compilation in Japan. And it's a fantastic song, the original, but having Bobby Caldwell sing it is really cool. And it's a little hard to track down.
Yeah. I'm making a note of that. I want to find that one. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you. So my list, I dismissed a lot of the ones that are really old that I thought would count on this just because they're old and maybe nobody knows those celebrities anymore. Boy, that sounds really sad. I didn't mean for it to be sad, but I kicked him out anyway. So I'm going to start with a couple recent singles that I think came out and sort of disappeared and didn't get any airplay and nobody knows about them, but the bands are still topical. First is the Foo Fighters, Run Rudolph Run, 2 years ago. Most people I mentioned that to and they go, the Foo Fighters did a Christmas song? Well, yeah, 2 years ago, and it's good, but it just doesn't get any airplay, disappeared. The other one is Saint Paul and the Broken Bones, which is a very cool R&B sort of New Orleans kind of band. They did a version of Zat You Santa Claus, was an Amazon exclusive in 2018. Don't hear it anywhere. So those two were recent ones. So there you go. Next on my list, Dick Van Dyke and the Vantastics, Old Fashioned Christmas. Dick Van Dyke did an album in 2008 with these a cappella people that he met at a coffee bar.
No way.
Yeah.
They just struck up a conversation.
And started talking. And the other main three people that are the Vantastics were in other a cappella groups and they knew each other. And they happened to be there, and oh my gosh, there's Dick Van Dyke. So they struck up a conversation, and what do you guys do? And it turned into this, and they put out an album. And it's mostly kind of kid songs, but they did this old-fashioned Christmas song, and Dick Van Dyke sings lead on everything, and it's really kind of nice. He also does A Visit from St. Nicholas on there, too, and it's nice to hear him do that. If you're a fan of Dick Van Dyke's, that's still streaming. You can find that. Next on my list is Corey Hart, the Sunglasses at Night guy. On the flip side of his 1985 single, Everything in My Heart, was a live version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, wow. That's a good one. It's good. I like that.
And just recently, in the last 10 years, the label that owns that has put that out as a digital single, so you can find that streaming. At least you can on iTunes. I don't know if it's exclusive there, but you can find it there.
Well, and it's a popular single in Japan. I have not ordered the vinyl yet.
You know, it really sounds like him. If you like, you may only remember the Sunglasses at Night song by him. Because that's the one that seems to have endured. But it really sounds like him. There are so many.
What makes this version of it so special by him?
That it's rare. It was only the flip side of this 45.
Okay.
Not on any of his albums, not released digitally until like maybe 2015. So that would be like 30 years after the fact. I have no idea what he's doing these days. But the label decided to put that out and get some Christmas money.
Smart.
Yeah.
that's where all the money is.
My next one is kind of a cheat in that I don't think a soundtrack was ever released. In 1999, there was a TV special, All of the Other Reindeer. Drew Barrymore and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy did a song called Merry Christmas After All, which is really sweet. And the gist of the story of this animated special is Drew Barrymore is the voice of Olive, who is a dog, but one of Santa's reindeer gets injured, and he mentions all of the other reindeer, and she thinks that means her, Olive, instead of all of. So she's on a trip to the North Pole to help save Christmas. And it's really a much better special than I just made it sound. But the song is really sweet, and I couldn't believe it wasn't all over the radio that year. Bad marketing on their part.
They actually do quite a bit of Christmas music on their own.
Yeah.
I never understand why, you know, they don't try to push some of these more. I mean, you would think like that's just a win if you can really get, you know, synergize all that. And a lot of times, I mean, sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't. And it's just it's kind of a shame because you miss out on a lot of great music.
Yeah. That should have been at least that year. Should have been all over the place, but it just wasn't. I play it, but another one that I can't believe didn't get any traction was from a 2005 TV special called The Legend of Frosty the Snowman. Animated, Burt Reynolds sings Frosty the Snowman. And it's not bad. It's really kind of cute. And again, should have been a single. Should have been on the radio. I don't know why it didn't. I don't know that that special ever appeared again after 2005. And I really feel like if you have a Christmas special featuring the voice of Burt Reynolds, wouldn't you want to air that more and just try and, you know, make something off of the name, but vanish without a trace? 1989. In the third volume of the Christmas in the Northwest series, which is a charity comp that comes out of Oregon, Washington, in that area, the Steve Miller Band, God rest ye merry gentlemen. Steve Miller Band recorded a version of Jingle Bells about 10 years ago that was on their website, but this is a lot better, I think, for a lot of different reasons. One, it was 1989. They still really sounded like the Steve Miller Band. And it's cool to get God Rest You Merry Gentlemen from them.
That is cool.
Jingle Bells sounds more like something they sort of had a little bit of extra studio time and kind of threw it together and put it on their website. And, you know, nothing against that. I think it's really kind of neat when bands decide to do that for their fans and put something up for them. But the God Rest You Merry Gentlemen was much more of a, you know, they were in the studio and they were working on this to make it as good as it could be. You can tell when you hear it. It's very well produced. So, and the Christmas in the Northwest series, you'll find lots of great gems on that. I know Ann and Nancy Wilson from Heart have at least one or two songs on some of those albums. They're probably songs that also turned up on Heart's Christmas stuff, but there are lots of other artists that you'll know. So if you're into that kind of thing, you should check them out. One of my favorites, Billy Joel, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. He did a duet of this with Rosie O'Donnell, 1996, 97, somewhere in there. In the 70s, he recorded it on tour, and it was such a like a soundboard, high-quality recording that radio stations, some radio stations got it and were playing it, thought it was a legitimate release until the folks at CBS or Columbia Records, whoever, whatever it was called then, sent them the cease and desist on it. But but on his YouTube channel, he does he had done a lot of these Q&A series where he goes to different universities and speaks to music majors and stuff and answers questions. And one that he did in 2011 was recorded and put out on a special anniversary edition of the River of Dreams album. And it included Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And that's on his YouTube channel also. And there's also a live version that he did at Madison Square Garden from 2014 that is on his YouTube channel. And those videos also pop up some of the streaming services that offer videos. You'll find those there too. 1982 single from the band Firefall, Christmas in Love. Never on one Firefall. Of their albums. Firefall had the big hit in the 70s, You Are the Woman. They had other hits too, but that was the real big one. But Christmas in Love is one of those singles that when you hear it, you want to get a copy of it. And it didn't come out digitally until I think the year before last. And I don't know why. I don't know that Firefall is still around. Apologies if you guys in the band are listening and you are still around.
They still tour.
Yeah.
I met them a few years ago.
Yeah. But this it's a really nice Christmas song, and it's an original piece, and it never appeared on anything. I don't know why. Just floated out as a single. About 10 years before that, Carol Burnett had an album called If I Could Write a Song. She had several albums that she released, serious stuff, not like her show. It wasn't for laughs. And she did a version of the Christmas song. I don't know if you heard it, you would go, oh, that's Carol Burnett. But if you're a fan, that's kind of cool. And three or four of her albums are available now for streaming, so you can find this. It's not, geez, I don't want to sound too judgmental. I mean, it's not an amazing version of the Christmas song, but she can sing well.
Yeah.
And it's a nice song. And if you're a fan, it's kind of cool to have the Christmas song from Carol Burnett. Jason Alexander, George from Seinfeld. Link by Link is a song he did when he was in A Christmas Carol. He played Jacob Marley opposite Kelsey Grammer. And I think it was a 2004. I don't know if that was Hallmark. I'm not sure. But Link by Link was the song he sang when he came as the ghost to visit Scrooge. And you can kind of tell who it is when you hear it. But a lot of people don't even know that Jason Alexander sings. He's done lots of things on and off Broadway.
Yeah, quite talented.
And this whole time I thought he celebrated Festivus.
I wondered who was going to bring that up first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, rim shot.
I'll be here all week. Yeah. Tip your waitress. No.
Michael Keaton, Frosty the Snowman from the movie Jack Frost, 1998.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a really odd kind of Christmas movie. but it's a cool version of Frosty the Snowman, very bluesy. Yet you listen to it, you may not immediately know it's Michael Keaton, but if somebody tells you that's Michael Keaton, you'd go, oh yeah, yeah, I can get that. But a lot of people don't know he did a Christmas song. The Rolling Stones didn't ever really record any Christmas music. Keith Richards did Run Rudolph Run, and Mick Jagger did a Christmas song with Joss Stone in 2004 for the remake of Alfie. It's called Lonely Without You This Christmas. And it didn't, I mean, I don't think it was released as a single. I don't know that anything from the soundtrack was, but when I started The Sounds of Christmas, it was one of the highest rated songs the first couple years. Lonely Without You This Christmas, Mick Jagger and Joss Stone. So if you're a Stones fan and you didn't know, now you do, and you should go find it. All right, this next one, I'm pretty confident no one else knows this exists. Patrick Stewart.
Oh, dear.
Here Comes Santa Claus. In 2016, he did, and you can still find it on YouTube, it's a very funny fake commercial for Patrick Stewart Sings Cowboy Classics. And it's all for charity. He actually put out an EP that has five songs on it.
That's awesome.
The songs that he really did are Buttons and Bows, Don't Fence Me In, Ringo, I'm an Old Cow Hand, and Here Comes Santa Claus. And this was all for the International Rescue Committee. You have to go find this video. It's so funny, and it's done like one of those old Ron Popeil kind of commercials. Wait, that's not all. You also get, and it's as if Patrick Stewart has recorded all of these different albums, all these different cowboy albums, and it's just hilarious. And he just hams it up, and it's just so funny seeing him sing snippets of Ghost Riders in the Sky and all these other things, and it's very funny. But for a limited time, this EP was available. You could get a physical copy or you could get a download, and the money went to the International Rescue Committee, and he does Here Comes Santa Claus, for better or worse.
Nice. You had me at Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
I'd actually been aware of that one, but I will say it didn't interest me enough to really check it out. But he has such a distinctive voice. He speaks, and you know exactly who's talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you do. And it's the same. It's kind of like that Michael Keaton one. You may not hear it and go, oh, that's Patrick Stewart. But if somebody says, you know, that's Patrick Stewart singing that, you listen to it and you go, yeah. Oh, yeah. I get that. Yeah. Yeah. Val Kilmer, Christmas is Calling. Val Kilmer dabbled a little in music in the 2000s with a session musician whose name just went out of my head. But he put this album, I think there were six or seven songs, and he put it on his MySpace page and was trying to get a record deal.
MySpace.
And one of the songs is called Christmas is Calling. And this doesn't sound like I'm really selling it, but it's not bad.
But you had me at Val Kilmer.
Yeah. The cachet of it is that it's Val Kilmer.
Yes.
And it's an original song. He and this other guy wrote it. And I wish I could remember the other guy's name. It was Mick something, but not Jagger. But I think that the album was actually called Sessions with Mick. And Mick has worked with many other, he's done session work with a lot of other big names, serious recording stars, not other movie stars. But I have no idea how this partnership came out. But it was a serious venture for him. And I don't know if then Val Kilmer got sick, and I don't know if that played into it or not, that you never were able to go into a music store and find a Val Kilmer CD.
Right.
But I know for a while it was available on his website. I don't think it's streaming anymore, but I play it every once in a while.
Nice.
For whatever that's worth. And the last but not least, maybe Marty Feldman.
Oh, man. Oh, my eyes.
Yeah. What? 1968, he did an album called I Feel a Song Going Off.
Abby something.
And and he did a song called A Joyous Time of the Year.
That's cool. This one stumps me. I've never heard
of it. Yeah, I haven't either.
It's streaming. You can find it if, you know, feel strongly about it. I go back and forth on whether I want to play this because it's Marty Feldman and was never known as an amazing singer. The song is not quite a downer, but it's about lots of things that go wrong at this joyous time of the year. And it's sort of making fun of that. I think it goes on a little bit too long about it, but it's iconic because it's Marty Feldman. So, and there's a couple other interesting songs on there. There's a Eurovision song that's called the Eurovision song. That's a blatant attempt to get attention from all the different countries. And and it's very amusing. A lot of the humor doesn't still work, but it's, you know, 50 some years ago. But it's Marty Feldman. Mm-hmm. So
Is he singing it to the camera, or is it just video and he's in the background? Because that could be weird if he's looking at me and singing.
No, he's not. It's
I only know him in a humorous role, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The album is supposed to be humorous, and parts of it probably are. When I discovered it, I was very excited about it, and the excitement waned a little as I listened to it. but it's still, I don't know, it's still kind of cool. Marty Feldman has a Christmas song, and I'm pretty sure that no one else knows that right now. until now.
Now they do.
Told
yeah.
Everyone. Yeah, and now you do. So
that's awesome.
Well, you know, I think one thing, though, that needs to be said that we all know and understand is there's just so much music out there. And even though it's subjective, there's a lot of good stuff that, you know, if you get away from the radio and maybe also kind of step back from some of the more popular playlists, there's a lot of good music out there by solid celebrities and artists, and even some indies. I'm not trying to snub them, but so much music out there if you just kind of open things up a bit to being able to find some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty sure that thanks to YouTube, if you look up some of your favorite artists and put in Christmas song,
exactly,
you'll be surprised at what you'll find.
Yep. It's a great way to track down stuff that you never knew even existed.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? That's actually a good topic for another show, is which artist would you want to have done a Christmas song that you've never, you know, that didn't record one.
Right.
I mean, I would have loved like a full classic era Fleetwood Mac, you know, Lindsey Buckingham produced Christmas song. But, oh, well.
See, I'd settle for a contemporary Billy Joel Christmas album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And, you know, lots of singers and lots of bands have fan club releases. Mm-hmm. Where they have sent out Christmas music. I know the Eurythmics and REM did that. The Beatles famously did that in the 60s.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are many others if you want to check that out. YouTube is a great resource for that. And they are not sponsoring this program.
But you know, the other thing about YouTube, it's just surprising because, well, it's like when I mentioned Susie and the Banshees. Okay, incredible goth kind of look. You bring this up, but if you were to hear that song away from the video, oh my goodness, they don't even mix. That's why it was just a jaw dropper to see this group doing this song in this beautiful acoustic setting. But again, you're dealing with goth, and that's just very stark. Black hair, dark eyeliner, all this kind of stuff, all dressed up. And I don't know, I'm beginning to think this song that she did, it might actually have some roots in religion. It definitely has kind of a medieval feel, but that was the beauty of YouTube. Because I could see it like that, it was just like, oh, wow, I am in love. This is wonderful. But yeah, track down anything on YouTube, because it's a wonderful resource to be able to find and even find ideas about Christmas with artists that you really like.
Oh, yeah. Pearl Jam used to, I don't know if they still do, they used to send out Christmas songs to their fan club. A few years ago, they made them all available on Spotify or iTunes, or maybe on all of them. And they did covers of Someday at Christmas, which I think was one of the better ones that they did. But they did several different Christmas songs that just went to their fan club. Never would have known about it until I had accidentally stumbled upon it on YouTube. But it's fun if you're a fan of Pearl Jam and you didn't know about those. Well, really, what kind of fan are you? but you can find that out. I came across the Eurythmics stuff, and as you might guess, it's a little interesting, I guess I'll say. They did a lot of studio experimentation. It's not just a straightforward Christmas song, but they're all little Christmas messages and things like that. And, you know, if you're a fan, it's cool to hear it. You probably won't hear that on the radio anywhere, because It's some of it's bizarre. But if you're a fan, it's a really cool gift to find that kind of thing. And you can find that for so many artists. Mm-hmm. And lots of them just do little Christmas messages, which is nice to see too.
Yeah.
Whether
they seem almost relatable in those settings.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of neat to have Olivia Newton-John wish you a Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially now when she's gone, but that we still have that. And you can find Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin doing things like that too, as well as contemporary artists. Kristen Chenoweth does that, Carrie Underwood, lots of different artists, and you can find all of that kind of stuff too. It's just, I mean, we have really just scratched the surface in the stuff that we've been talking about. But if there's somebody that you're a big fan of, check YouTube, check the streaming services, because some of it may be available and you just don't know. Many of the songs that I mentioned, I know are available on Tidal and Spotify, so you can find them. I haven't had a chance to check everyone else's work to see if those are also available too, but but you can certainly check them out. And if you know of somebody that fits the criteria of what we've been talking about, a fairly well-known singer, band, or celebrity that has Christmas music out that you think we should know about, send it out to me on social media or through the Sounds of Christmas website, and maybe we really will do a part two to this in a month or so. Maybe we will. We'll see what happens. Before we wrap things up, you guys want to share what you have in the works for upcoming episodes? Ricky?
Sure. Well, with the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast, Christmas in July, I'm finally going to leak it, but we are doing a Coca-Cola Christmas. So we're going to deep dive into some of the things about the whole makeover of Santa, their marketing campaign, their recipes, and the Coca-Cola Museum. But for June, I talked to this sweet little 98-year-old woman who is the curator of the Nutcracker Museum in Leavenworth, Washington. She joined me over Zoom wearing her Bavarian outfit. It was just darling. And we're also going to do June weddings. And we just did a show, Christmas Expo. It's going to be happening next month. And this is where serious people who love their lighting and they want it so bright it can be seen from outer space, they go there to learn all the tips and tricks about really syncing up their lighting. And then also Mary's going to be doing a show to get ready for the Hallmark Christmas in July. She'll be doing an episode on Hallmark movies with another collaborator. So we're kind of lined up for the next couple of months. And then October is our Christmas music month, and we're doing a variety of different Christmas music shows.
Cool. Thank you. Jerry, what's on the way?
So let's see. I've got a double episode on Brave Star coming up. I had a couple of guests, and then due to rescheduling and scheduling issues in general, instead of recording together, we broke it up. And so I'm just going to do double episode of Brave Star. They have a great version of A Christmas Carol on that cartoon there. Heathcliff is another one, A Disney Christmas Gift, which is pretty cool. Rocky IV, because the final fight occurs on Christmas Day. And then I have a few others like Home Alone 2. My 200th episode will be part two of our Replace Every Song from the Time Life Treasury of Christmas with its counterpart from the 80s. And then to coincide with the Hallmark ornament premiere, we're going to be looking at the Dream Book from Christmas of 1986.
Wow.
You know, when Rocky IV first came out, I completely missed that it took place during Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
They missed that. But they did that recently. They put it in theaters again. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a special director's cut or something. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's a Christmas movie.
That's why we're covering it. Yeah. I'm pretty loose on my show about what constitutes, you know, Christmas. And there's just enough for me to count it.
Well, you know, I look at it, and not to take this episode in a whole other direction, I look at it a little bit like I look at Die Hard, because I feel like it, while it's not about Christmas, it happens because of Christmas.
Right.
That's why if it was in March, that fight wouldn't be happening. So it's a Christmas movie. It has to. Christmas is focal to the plot, so has to be there.
Right on.
Send me those cards and letters. No,
and I get it. Like again, I don't want to detract too much, but I'm the same way with my show. If it has a little bit of Christmas, it counts. What, even if I personally don't think it's a Christmas thing, if it's a little bit, like I said, if it has anything to do with Christmas in the 80s, we're going to cover it. So okay. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, it counts.
Exactly.
Scott, what do you have coming up?
So this month I've got a couple of cool episodes featuring music that's never been re-released anywhere. First is Yoshiyasu Ueda and Swing West. They put out some Christmas music in a FlexiDisc journal back in 67, I think. And then a compilation from 1964 featuring several Japanese bands who... one of them, he was pretty popular. He's got a lot of Christmas music, but the stuff on this album was never re-released. So that's for this month. Next month, I've got the Christmas music of the Spacemen, which they were a psychedelic garage rock band, and their Christmas singles are really cool. I mean, they're a lot of fun to listen to. Some of the harder singles to get a hold of. In fact, one of them, I think I may have seen two copies total come up for sale over the last few years. So that one will be a lot of fun. And then I'm also working on my Christmas in July special, which there's a lot of summer Christmas songs in Japan where basically they're talking about having their, you know, Christmas night with their significant other during the summer. And this will be my third year in a row for it. I know we had talked before about I got in a boatload of records this month to kind of pad my summer Christmas songs. Realized the other day I'd forgotten to order one of them. Did a little more research, found another one, so I've got like 14 more albums coming later this week. So it should be a fun episode. It'll have some a lot of music you just won't hear anywhere else, and then we'll see for the rest of the year.
Great. Well, I will put links in the show notes to each of your podcasts so everybody can find what you guys were just talking about. And no, and that's it. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about all this stuff with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab for that. We also have a Linktree page. I'll put the link down in the show notes, and you can click on that and find most, if not all, of the sites that have our podcasts. And that way you can subscribe and never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas Station, or the Sounds of Halloween, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.